let's go to the book of Isaiah, if you would, this morning. Isaiah chapter 7. Just for one verse to jump us into the book of Matthew. So find Isaiah 7, and then we're going to come to Matthew chapter 1. While you're turning there, I will also tell you that, of course, we are excited about investing and having the opportunity to plant a church in Henderson, Nevada, starting in January. And Pastor Austin, of course, will be launching that and will be leading that down south, as his last service with us will be January the 15th, as we have our ordination service for him and his family. And we will be sending the Rumbaughs to minister where God has placed them there in Henderson. And we're excited. And so with that, we have been asking our church to pray about how maybe they could even financially give to just the church plant. And so all through the month of December, as we've done a lot of Christmas projects already starting in October, we want to finish off this year and our Christmas project being just wanting to plant another church. And do that in January, and there's some startup costs and some expenses. And so we're just asking that God allow for that to be offset with people that are willing to give. All you got to do is just a memo either on the envelope or on your check, church plant, and then whatever you designate will go to that cause to see that church get started down in Henderson. Looking forward to that as we get into January. All right, you have found Isaiah. Are you there?
Yep.
Good stuff. Isaiah 7, look at verse 14. Isaiah 7 and verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Heavenly Father, I pray today that as we set our heart in tune to the things of the Scripture, to just open up a new series and the holiday festivities of Christmas and New Year's and all the joy and the fun that comes with that, that, Lord, when we come on Sundays, that we would be not only challenged, but we would be encouraged as we spend time together, but most importantly, as we spend time in the Word, hearing, reading, and getting meaning for our lives from you. Bless the opening message of the series as we talk about God with us, and I trust that all of us will be fed today, and that we'll be able to go from here and put in some thoughts and some learning into action over this next week. In Jesus' name we pray, we all say amen. I had you read it with me out of Isaiah. Now come if you would to Matthew, to the Gospel of Matthew, where you see on the outline, our text is actually found in Matthew 1. And the reason is because there's one we're going to hear that Matthew records that the prophet said these words, and I want you to see them previously back in Isaiah 7. So now that you have found Isaiah, now you're turning to Matthew chapter 1. I'll give you just a moment to get there. And then I want to read with you verses 18 through 23, and then we will open up our outline today. Matthew chapter 1, verse number 18. As you turn there, catch up and follow along if you would. Verse 18 says this. Now the birth of Jesus was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, and note verse 23, words from out of Isaiah, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. That's our series for the month of December, is God with us. Another translation that is true with this thought is, God is with us. And as you think about that wonderful statement of God with us this morning, I want us just to take this first Sunday of December and just kind of, if I can say, calm us down a little bit. I want us to enjoy this season so much as we spend these next 4 or 5 Sundays together in this wonderful and festive and holiday season. And I want us to remember the reason for the season. It's a statement that we often use, don't we? Remember the reason for the season. Help me, church. What is the reason for the season?
Jesus,
right? J-E-S-U-S, yes. It is the reason for the season. What Jesus has done, what he came to this earth to do, is the reason that we have Christmas. But I want to say this to you this morning as you sit here. Jesus wants us to have fun around Christmas. Okay? Sometimes we can get confused or we can wonder, you know, are we not to enjoy Christmas? Are we not to, you know, think about Christmas? Should we not have a tree? Should we not have lights? Should we not have this? Should we not have that? Can I say this? Jesus wants you to have fun. You say, Pastor, how do you know that? John 10:10. Because he came to give me life, and when he gave me life, he came to give it to me abundantly. Well, if I can go into this life and I can live focused on Jesus, which I can do, then I can also understand that Jesus is going to allow for me to enjoy the things that are around and do it in the right context. So know this morning, that I want you, and more importantly, Jesus wants you to have fun this holiday season. How many of you have a Christmas party planned one way or another in the next month or so? You got a Christmas party planned? How many of you guys got a work party you have to endure? It's just that season where there's parties, there's gatherings, there's get-togethers, and you know, even as a church, we have the 14th at a time, and you know, in all of that, we want to make sure that we remember the reason for the season. I don't know about you, but I feel like Christmas has just crept upon me this year. It's like I looked at it back in, you know, September or August, and it was hot and miserable, and I'm saying I can't wait for December to come. And then, next thing I know, I'm really waking up this morning going, Christmas is 21 days away. I mean, 3 short weeks, boom, there it is. I mean, the end of the year is 27 days away. 28 days from now, we'll be here for 2017. It's like, wow, where'd it go? And you know what? I want to make sure that all of us enjoy the reason for the season. So, Christmas is here, ready or not, here it comes. But as another year comes to a close, as another year comes to the month of December and we get to enjoy the lights and the hot chocolate and the Christmas trees and all of that, I want us just to remember that Jesus came to this earth to be with us. God is with us.
Amen.
They shall call him Emmanuel, which he interpreted is God with us. Over the next few weeks, we will take this title and we will talk about a few important things and certain things about Jesus. Next week, we will look at the light of Christmas. The following week, we'll talk about the Lamb of Christmas. And on the third week, on Sunday, we'll talk about the love of Christmas. But this morning, I want to talk to you about the list for Christmas. The list for Christmas. How many of you remember when you were a child? So some of you, it's probably Brother Al's way back there, right?
Yeah.
Al's looking at me like, yeah, I think I remember when I was a child. No. Remember when you were a child, or if you are still a teenager or a young child in here, maybe possibly? You remember making that list? You know, wanting those certain things? I mean, I don't know about many adults anymore that make a list, but maybe there's a few of us that still do that, maybe internally. You know, we don't actually write it out anymore. But you remember making a list? And you know how the song goes, you're making a list, checking it twice, going to find out who's naughty or nice, right? How many of you think that you've been nice this year? Straight hand. How many of you guys know you've been naughty this year? All right, yeah. Cole is going throughout, right? But it comes to really where we do make lists. And maybe as you get older, it's not making a list for yourself, but you're making a list for others. That you want to just give a kindness, a gesture, a token of your love in a wrap package to just show that you love and care for them. And so one way or another, most likely, you're making a list. Maybe if you even purpose this year, possibly, you're not going to buy gifts, but you're still going to maybe have a dinner or a gathering, and you're going to make a list for that to provide all things. We know what a list is. A list is something that we create to make sure we don't forget or that we get written down what is important, don't we? So that we can focus on it, we can understand what it's all about, what it's there for. And as the lists are dismissed, or I'm sorry, as the lists are given and as they're checked off and as we finish the list, may we understand that whatever is written on that list, from a child at the age of 4, 5, or 6 to maybe a teenager to a young adult, it's important. It's important.
You know, we at our house take time to just kind of let our children, hey, what do you want for Christmas? You know, make a list and submit it to us. Well, Brianna got creative this year in a cute way and just kind of got elaborate in writing her a list out about how her clothes, she wanted to be warm and this and that and whatever. And you know what? Can I say, a list can be fun. But what is important is that we get that list, that we understand that what's on it is coming from a point of view that is important to somebody, even for a child. I mean, you know, a Star Wars action figure or this or that for I have an 8-year-old that, you know, that's important to him. And to him, it's all the world. You say, well, that's wrong. Can I say this? Unless he's 8. To him, in many ways, okay, Star Wars is a lot more important than his dad times, okay? I'm just telling you. It's okay. I still get in there. I can buy an ice cream cone and get back into top status there. But you know what? That list just has a purpose, and I think we understand that. And as it's the time of year that we make the list and we go do all the shopping for the ones we love and we enjoy life with those and we show them that we care about them, we won't turn there, but we could go to the second chapter of Matthew and we see that the same thing happened for Jesus, didn't it? Jesus, of course, now being a little bit older and in his house with Mary and Joseph, we know the three wise men that came, right? Now, none of us are probably as rich as the wise men, but we all have the ability to give gifts to Jesus. Upon that time, the wise men come to the house where Mary and Joseph, and they find the babe. They give gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We don't know for a fact that there was three wise men, and it's really irrelevant. But the nativity scenes and everything gets festive and pretty with three, doesn't it? And a lot of the graphics that you'll see often has the three camels and the three wise men, and here they come because of the three gifts that were mentioned. And what is important is as those gifts were given, they gave them in an act of worship to Jesus. And Matthew chapter 2 is a beautiful story, of course, to read. But I want us to take a little time now to remember and to see the reason for this season and find some gifts that should be on our list that we would want to give to Jesus. So with our title this morning of The List for Christmas, I want to give you four thoughts, four things that should be on the list for Jesus, and he kind of asked a question with that each thought as we go through the message this morning. More of a topical study than a exegesis or a expository sermon, but as we think about Matthew 1 and we think about the season of Mary and Joseph and here comes the baby, and one day or that one moment when he was born that they would call him Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. I want us to remember that God is with us this morning. And what Jesus Christ has done for you and for me should want us to remember the reason for the season and all that goes with it. And make just a short list this morning of four things that should be on your list that you would want to give to Jesus. Would you write these down with me? We'll ask a question over each one of them. And just give some thoughts for us to take. Number one, as we think about the list for Christmas, the first thing that every one of us in this room ought to look and ask and think is the thought of writing down, give him your heart. Give him your heart. Here we sit this morning on December 4th, 2016. And as I look across this room, I don't know everyone, but pretty familiar with many. And probably if you have been alive for any length of time and you've been in America, you have an idea of what Christmas is about. Maybe you might have some unanswered questions. That's a possibility. But as a whole, probably everyone in this room knows that Christmas is not truly about Santa Claus, but about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You might have never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, but you know that within the realms of December 25th, that the thought and the context is the time when we celebrate Jesus' birth. And as we think about the list making and the shopping and everything, there's some things that will cost us, but when we say they cost us, they cost us in the right way when we talk about these four things this morning. See, giving your heart to someone will cost you.
Amen.
But when you give it to the right person, it doesn't really cost you in a negative way.
Amen. That's right.
And this morning, I want to just talk to you about your heart. Talk to you about your life. Just for a moment. I'm not here to make anybody feel guilty. But I just want you to just soak it up and just think about this for just a few moments, as this first thing that ought to be on our list is giving Him your heart. See, God calls us to not only give Him our time, our treasures, and our talents, but He calls us to give, really, our entire being to Him. See, God brought each and every one of us into this world and allows for us to make a choice. And you ought to be glad that He allows for us to make the choice. That He didn't say, you're a robot, you have to come now and worship me. But He said, I brought you into this world, I brought you and gave you life, but I want you to make a choice. I want you to make that choice that you would want to give your life back to me. See, Corinthians tells us that we are bought with a price. And because we are bought with a price, therefore we have to glorify God with our body. And so, I speak to everyone here this morning. And if you are a believer, know this, that Jesus Christ wants your full being. He wants your full life. He wants all of you. If you are not a believer here this morning, if you're wondering what really all of this Christmas hoopla is really about, why church houses fill up around Christmas Eve and Christmas, and you're looking for answers this morning, can I submit to you that Jesus Christ wants you to know you have a choice, that you can invite Him into your life. And He wants you to give Him your heart.
Amen.
In Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 20, the Bible says, behold, speaking of Jesus, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Oh, this Christmas, my friend, I want to encourage you to give your heart to Jesus. See, Jesus is such a kind, loving, and caring person that He didn't make robots, He gave people choices, but upon giving us choices, He even doesn't come and pressure us with a high sales pitch. But yet He offered everything in the world to us.
Right.
And even in Revelation 3:20, the Bible says that, behold, He stands at the door and knocks. And as He knocks, He's wanting you and me to open wide our heart's door and say, Jesus, come and sup with me. Jesus, come and be my all. Jesus, come and let me give my life to you. Listen, when we talk about giving our life to Jesus, some of us, we get scared. We think it's going to cost me everything. Can I tell you this? He paid it all.
Right. Amen.
He just wants you to come and have a right relationship with Him. He wants you to have fellowship with Him. The Bible says in Romans 12, 1 and 2, He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove, test, that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Oh, the first thing that ought to be on our list for Christmas is that we would want to give Jesus our heart.
Amen.
That Jesus would have all of it. That Jesus can just take and he can use me, He can talk to me, He can fellowship with me, he can love me, he can hang around with me, all that He wants, because I want to give my heart to Him. I just want to ask a simple question this morning. Does Jesus have your heart? Does Jesus have your heart? 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 14, the Bible says, for the love of Christ constraineth us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, and oh yes he did, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again.
Amen.
Now know that. The love of Christ constrains me. See, it's the love that God has for me when he sent his only begotten son and he put him upon the cruel tree to pay for all the sins of the world and that blood being shed and going into a borrowed tomb and up from the grave he rose 3 days later. God's love for me constrains me to say, I need to give my life, my all back to him. Oh, it may sound like it's going to cost me a lot, but it really doesn't, because you know what? He loves me so much, I just can't help but want to be giving my heart back to him.
Amen. Amen.
Know what it says there? And that he died for all, and that they which live, when you are spiritually born, when Jesus Christ comes into your lives and saves you, they that live should not henceforth live unto themselves. Note there. Should not henceforth. But it doesn't say, now God makes you. But the truth is, because of his love and what constrains me, because I was spiritually dead and he bought me with a price and it shed blood of Jesus Christ up from the grave, he rose and now given me life. I was spiritually dead, but now I'm spiritually alive, and because of that, henceforth, I shouldn't live unto myself. But I should want to live for Jesus.
Amen.
This morning, the question is this. Have you given your heart to Jesus? If you're not sure where you're going to spend eternity, let today be the day that you give your heart to Jesus. There is no other way to heaven other than through Jesus Christ. Whosoever will may come, the Bible says. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Whosoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. If you're sitting here and you're not certain that when you take that last breath, may I say that long as Jesus doesn't come back, that there's going to come a day when you're going to take your last breath and you'll collapse. Just talking to somebody this morning that they were a believer and they have a loved one that was sitting in a car just waiting and kindly waiting, and all of a sudden their heart ended and life was over. They were a believer and they're on their way to heaven, and praise God for that. My friend, this morning, do you know that? That if or when your heart stops, that you'll be in heaven? Well, Pastor, I'm not really sure you can know that. The Bible says you can.
Yes, amen.
You can know for sure.
Amen.
If you haven't given Jesus your heart and trusted him as your personal Savior, let today be the day. But then it continues. When you understand the love of God and how it constrains you, and ask this question, believer, on your list, have you given Jesus your heart? Does he have all of you so that he can use your life for bigger and greater things than you could ever imagine? That's question one. That's item number one on our list. Let's write down number two this morning. Since God is with us and God loves us and God cares for us, number one, we have to give him our heart. Number two, we need to give him your hurt. Give him your hurt.
Amen.
We live in a very torn up society.
Amen.
We lived in a very ragged and very battered world. And I will say to you this morning that in this room, probably 100% of us, one way or another, have some hurt. I want to express to you and give to you this morning, just briefly for a moment, not only does Jesus want you to give him your heart, but he wants you to give him your hurt. See, whatever's going on in your life, and from John all the way over to Al, everyone in between, front and back, our lives are different. But I can almost mark it down and guarantee you we have some hurt in our life.
Amen.
And whatever the hurt is this morning, I want you to realize that Jesus came to this earth, God with us, so that he could take your hurt away. See, it might not go all the way away from your mind and some of your emotions and your feelings. But when you are willing to spiritually align with Jesus Christ, with God, and you give him your heart and you understand that the only way that any healing can really truly happen with your hurt is when you give your hurt to him, then you can really truly enjoy this Christmas season.
Amen.
See, if it's that you lost a loved one, or if it's that you have a son or a daughter that's gone wayward, or if you personally in your life maybe have taken a step back or gotten away from God, and through that some hurt has come, or whatever it may be, here's what I want you to know this morning, is that Jesus, on his Christmas list wish, is that you give him your heart, but secondly, he wants you to give him your hurt. That sounds so backwards, so oxymoron, so why would Jesus want me to give my hurt to him? Because he knows he's the only one that can really truly help you with that hurt.
That's That's right. Amen.
See, psychologists and self-help books and this and that will only band-aid it. We'll only make it look good. And what is so sad around the Christmas time is so many people try to do just that.
Amen.
Band-aid. With psychology or with Dr. Phil or Oprah or somebody else, you name whatever it may be, and look good, right? For the holidays. Because I'll be going home for Christmas. So I got to look good to my family. I'll be at that Christmas party with my coworkers who I really don't ever talk with, but now we're going to have time and we have to engage, and I got to look good to them, so I'm going to put a band-aid on it. And really, you know, inside of you and inside of all of us in this world, there's hurt.
That's right.
My friend, I can't promise that healing will fully come by Christmas. But I can tell you this morning, though, if you would be willing to line up with your hurt, to line up with your frustration, and be willing to give it to Jesus, healing can start.
Amen.
He wants you to give him your hurt. What is some of the hurt that we deal with? Burdens. Just burdens. I didn't get to live back in the 1700s and 1800s. Neither did you. But I understand that they probably still had burdens. And when they had burdens, the same answer was for them as it is for us today. And that is found in Matthew chapter 11, 28, 29, where Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls." Some of you this Christmas just need rest for your soul. You just need that time where you just bring that burden to Jesus, the hurt that is going on inside of your life, and just lift it up to Jesus. Just give your hurt to Jesus. Jesus, it's you that can heal it. Jesus, it's you that can handle it. It's you that will control this. My job is to come and just to simply come alongside and let his yoke come upon me. For he is meek, he is lowly in heart, and then I will find rest for my soul. But not only do we have burdens that we need to give to Jesus, but we also have depression. I read an article last week about just the state of America. And may I say this carefully and listen, please don't get ugly with me, please, okay? I'm just like you, I'm done with politics too, okay? But listen, you don't have to be depressed about who won or who didn't or whatever in politics.
Amen.
Because King Jesus is on the throne.
That's right. Amen.
Well, the pastor won. I don't care about the what ifs. Jesus is on the throne.
Amen.
And listen, so many people lost, and Christians alike are depressed about the election. Depressed about this and that. Listen, give it to Jesus.
Amen.
He's got it.
Amen.
Well, I just don't know if he'll handle this one. He's got it. Trust me.
Amen.
Well, pastor, I don't know if anybody can control Trump. Jesus can control Trump.
Amen.
Just as he controlled Obama, just as he controlled Bush, and just as he controlled Clinton, and just as he... It's crazy. And I'm reading that article. It's like 80-some-odd percent of Americans, through this time of election, saw their blood pressure go up astronomically. Okay, now there was times when I was watching a debate that I was a little frustrated, I'll be honest with you. But I'll be honest with you, I didn't feel like I had to go to the doctor and get some pills.
Amen.
For a stinking election. But 80-some percent people felt like this. And then it was like, in that same article, it's like, okay, if you go to Thanksgiving dinner with someone, how likely are you to have a conversation about politics? And it was like 60% said, oh, we don't want to touch that. Listen to me. As Christians, we should want to be 100% okay with our blood level, 100% be okay with the conversation, because Jesus is king. Jesus has it. And I just say that with depression in light of that, because it's kind of right there in front of all of us. Just thank Jesus that he's on the throne, and he sees what happens, and he knows he controls it all.
Amen.
But how about some other depression? How about maybe losing a loved one? How about maybe someone within your home has spiraled down, and you're just wondering, and you find yourself getting discouraged or depressed about it? Give it to Jesus. I know I've used
Amen.
These references the last couple of weeks, but come on, we need them. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Christian, you know how you can ruin your Christmas? Is not casting all your care upon him.
Right.
Well, I think I'll handle this one. I think I got this one. Psalms 55:22 says this, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Those that are walking in a godly way, those that are living in a godly fashion, they're firm, they're seated, they're planted. They know that God got this because they're casting their burden upon the Lord. They're not going to let discouragement, depression take them down because they're casting their burden upon the Lord and He will sustain thee. Psalm 62:8 says, trust in Him at all times. I'll finish the verse, but man, just that little quote right there is good, isn't it?
Man.
Trust in Him at all times. All means all, and that's all that all means. It's the whole. It's the complete. So the psalmist says, trust in Him completely. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. And then there's this wonderful word at the end of verse 8, Selah. Stop and pause.
Right.
The psalmist put that in there quite often throughout his psalms. You know why? Because he knew Americans were going to be fast and want to read right through. Selah means stop and pause. Reflect on what you just read. Don't pass over to verse 9. 9's good, but let's stay on 8 for a moment. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Whew. Whatever hurt you got today, God says, trust me. Pour out your heart to me. But how about maybe giving Him your hurt even in the thought of loneliness? God created us for relationship. God created us for community. And many are lonely today within these walls, outside of these walls. Today, you're hurt of loneliness. Jesus wants you to give it to Him. He has put people around you so you don't have to be hurt and lonely. Think about Isaiah 53 and verse number 7 in the light of Jesus and the crucifixion and going through all He does. Verse 7 says, He was oppressed and was afflicted. Yet He opened not His mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter and as a sheep before His shearers is dumb. So He opened not His mouth. A verse that may seem out of context, but I give it to you this morning to remind you that the Bible tells us that Jesus was tempted all points like we are, but yet without sin. I read verse 7 out of Isaiah 53 if you just want to remind you that there was times when Jesus was lonely. And at that time, in that moment, when His disciples had left Him, and all He had was God the Father, He still knew He had enough.
Amen.
And even in Jesus' moment of hurt, pain, physically and such, He called out to the Father. When He could have been, if I can put it this way, just a little bit, you know, felt lonely. In fact, there's a point when obviously God, of course, turns His back upon the Son because of all the sin that was hanging there. But Jesus says, Father, forgive them. For they know how they do.
Amen.
Hear me, Christian. Many of us need those words on our heart this morning.
Amen.
Father, forgive. Many will mess up or miss Christmas because they're not willing to be like Jesus and say, Father, forgive them. And you're going to spend Christmas lonely and miserable if you're not careful. But yet Jesus, even in His moment of loneliness, He knew who to turn to. And He said, God, Father, forgive them. May I remind you, Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave thee or forsake thee.
Amen.
Talking about giving your hurt, one last thought I want you just to take in this morning. The burdens, the depression, the loneliness, and also bitterness. Don't let Christmas be ruined by your bitterness this morning. Well, Pastor, you just preach to somebody else right now, because this bitterness of mine is just fine. I'm okay with this one. No, my friend, none of us should be living bitter lives.
Right.
When a struggle, a trial, a heartache comes in, you have one of two choices. God lets those things happen, and one thing He wants us to do is He wants us to get better through them.
Amen.
See, the devil wants you to get bitter through them.
Amen.
So see, you have one of two choices. You can do it God's way and become better, or you can do it the devil's way and become bitter. And when bitterness gets to seep in us, watch out. Because hurt people hurt people.
Amen.
Hurt people hurt people. Listen to Hebrews chapter number 12, verse 14. It says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby many will be defiled. Romans 12:19 talks about God's the one that will repay. Most people that are holding on to bitterness, thinking that they have the right to hold on to it, because they're going to get somebody back. My friend, can I remind you, you have no place and no business trying to get somebody back.
Amen.
Because what you deserve and what I deserve is hell.
That's right.
But Jesus loved us so much, He gave us an everlasting hope, an everlasting life in heaven.
Amen.
And in Romans 12:19, He says, listen, I will take care of it. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, thus saith the Lord. But if I hold on to my bitterness, Pastor, I just feel better about myself. You're missing out on life and life more abundantly. You're letting bitterness just get in there and begin to spring up. And when it springs up in your life, know this, that bitterness not only is destroying you and affecting you, but it's affecting many, many, many around you.
Amen.
So many lives, so many families are torn and shattered and ripped apart because of this little thing, but yet it's so big, bitterness. When heartache, when struggle, when hurt comes into your life, listen to me, you can do one of two things. You can get better, or you can get bitter. Don't mess up. Don't miss Christmas this year by being bitter. Well, Pastor, this year I'm just going to do it my way. Don't miss 2016. It's a Christmas that Jesus gave to you, that God has offered to you, to make it the greatest and the biggest and the best. But if you're going to not give Him your hurt, you'll miss it or mess it up. Can I give you the third thing that Jesus wants on His Christmas list? Not only your heart, not only your hurt, but I want you to see that He wants you to give Him your home. Give Him your home.
Amen.
And notice I said home and not house. The house is a stick-built, stucco-wrapped, grass-laid-on-the-yard structure. A home is made up of stick figures, if I can put it that way. Of a male and a female and children. Of a home that is brought together by God. And yes, even through, because of sin and because of the depravity of man, yes, marriages do get broken and shattered apart. And there might only be a dad, or there might only be a mom and some children, whichever way it is. But that's the home. That's the home that you have today. And may I submit to you this morning that, listen, the list for Christmas that Jesus wants is He wants you to give your home to Him. He wants your home. Mom and Dad, I could take a long time here, and I don't want to bog down and just take too long here, but I want you to understand the importance this Christmas of making sure that your home has been given to God. If your children are grown, you ought to be praying every day that your children would give their home, their life to God.
Amen.
If your children are young, oh my friend, you ought to be spending time after time after time with those children, guiding them in the right way. Amen. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, because when he's old, he then won't depart from it.
Amen.
Oh my friend, this morning, Jesus says, listen, I want your home. Well, Pastor, if I give Jesus my home, I can't do anything fun. Yes, you can. You can do a lot of fun things when you give Jesus your home. Well, Pastor, but then I can't have a TV. Who said that? Pastor, I have to sit and I have to dress like a monk. Who said that? See, we have this wrong thinking about what's going to happen if I give my home to Jesus. If I give my home to Jesus, you know what comes? Peace.
Amen.
Mercy. Kindness. Love. Grace. That's what happens in a home. I don't know about you, but I want a peaceful home. I want a gracious home. I want a loving home. I want a merciful home. I want a kind home.
Amen.
That's what you give when you say, this peace and this peace and this peace and this peace. These people, God, the best we know how, here we are. God, we have hurt. God, we have frustration. God, here we are. See, many of us are believing the devil's lie that our family is so horrible that Jesus just wanted to save us, but He really doesn't want us. And that's so far from the truth.
Not only did he save you, but he wants you. He wants your mess of a home. He wants your misery of a home. And whatever you want to label it that you're dealing with right now, he wants it. Say it back to me. He wants it. Louder. He wants it. God wants my home? Absolutely. He wants to restore it. He wants to rebuild it. He wants to renovate it. He wants to be able to do what you allow him. But he can't do it if he won't give the keys.
Right.
Our house is on the market trying to sell it. And as it's on the market trying to be sold, you know what we do? We lock our house. But you know what? If somebody wants to see our house, we have to unlock or give them access, don't we? Yes. To come in, to be able to view it, to be able to see what's going on, right? See if it's to their liking, so to speak. Well, in a spiritual realm, can I tell you this? God says, listen, this is your home. This is who you are. This is what it is. And I want the key to be able to come in and just start rebuilding. Just do a little renovation. Oh, but Pastor, I don't like renovation. I don't like painting. He'll do it. He'll do the work within you. He which hath begun a good work in you wants to perform it until the day of Christ. But you can't perform it in your home if you're not going to give him your home.
Amen.
And that means, can I just say in real honest and real truth, let's just get open. That means every little closet too, my friend. Yep. Parents, you can't shove all your bad stuff in the closet and say, Jesus, have all this but not that. He wants it all. And he will do great things if you give him your home. Psalm 127 says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman walketh but in vain. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of the mighty man, so children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them, that shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies of the gate. Oh, dad, oh, mom, listen to me. The greatest pride and joy ought to be your family. And your spouse ought to be the greatest pride and joy that God has given to you. And you ought to walk and journey and enjoy it. And then look at those little children that are around your knees and go, hallelujah.
Amen.
I was just talking to somebody the other day, and it just blows me away how old I am. Not my wife, but I am. I have 4 short years, and my 3 teenage girls are gone. I say gone in a way that I have now let the arrow go. 4 years! No way! That God gave me Bryson to beat on, so I'll be okay. But anyways, 4 short years. Listen, my friend, holiday season, the bitterness, the hurt, I'm asking you this morning, but more importantly, God's asking you, give your home to him.
Amen.
Listen, it will be at times a struggle. Teenagers just don't naturally go, oh, Jesus, let's go to Jesus. They're going to go, well, where's the rock and roll? No, let's get real. That's what happens. But where's all the dirty jokes? All you gotta do is just say, God, we're giving our home to you. Teenager, can I say this to you? There's nothing good in rock and roll. There's nothing good in dirty jokes. But the devil knows if he can get your mind and he can get you absorbing all of that trash and that filth, you won't want so much of Jesus. And then you can be a spur. Or drag me down the home. Teenager, can I ask, can I plead, can I beg, can I just implore your pastor, your friend, be willing to go where mom and daddy want to go. Mom and daddy have lived just a little longer than you. They don't know it all. But I'll tell you this, they know a lot.
Amen.
And they've gone down the hurt, the struggles, the heartache. And really when they say, don't do that, it's not because they hate you. But really, truly, it's because they love you.
Amen.
And listen, teenagers, you really, in a way, are getting joy in your home. Because when you are bubbly and happy and wanting to do things for Jesus and press on, mommy and daddy get encouraged. You have younger siblings, older siblings in your home. Wrap around each other. Don't throw a fist at each other. Throw a hand of love to each other.
Amen.
Listen, the home today ought to be a place where it's a safe haven, not a place of selling hay to our struggles. Colossians chapter 3, I won't read the whole verses for the sake of time, but the Bible talks about the duties of a wife and a husband and children. Now, fathers, are not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. My friend, remember this, the first institution that God created was the family.
Amen.
The only other institution he created was the church.
Right.
And both of them are very, very important to him, so much that he died for both.
Amen.
Because he's a family that makes up the church.
Yep.
And the church is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Hear me. If we're not willing to give our homes to Jesus, the church will not be vibrant and thriving like it should.
Amen.
See, there's big consequences. There's big things to look at. Jesus on his list says, I want your heart. I want your hurt. I want your home. My friend, this morning, taking the keys to your home and giving them to Jesus is the most marvelous, great, wonderful thing to do.
Amen.
It might not always look right or sound right to you, but trust me, he's got a better plan. Can I give you the last thing this morning? As God came to this earth and is with us, there's some things on his list that he just wants. And the fourth and final thing is that he wants us to give him your happy needs. Give him your happy needs. This fourth just kind of encompasses, surrounds it all. He wants your heart. He wants that hurt. He wants your home. And then this morning, he just wants to simply remind you that all of your happenings, everything, every single little thing, he wants you to trust him. Christian, your life, my life, could be a thousand times better if we could just learn that simple thought of Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart.
Amen.
All of your happenings. See, some of you are going to get your boat rocked this week, and I don't know how. It's going to be a happening. And you and I got to learn that those happenings in life, Jesus wants them. Three times in the scriptures, the statement, whatsoever ye do, is found. It's found in Ecclesiastes 9:10. It says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do with all thy might. 1 Corinthians 10, verse number 31, the Bible says, whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. And then Colossians 3:23, whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. I want you to turn to Psalm 73. We'll be there in just a second. It's Christmas. The reason for the season is Jesus Christ. This morning, I'm just asking you, most importantly, God is asking you, will you give me your heart? Will you give me your hurt? Will you give me your home? Will you give me your happiness? And you get to make the choice. You want to say yes? I want to say this to you this morning. If by chance you make the drastic decision to say no, I want you to know this, though, Jesus still loves you.
Amen.
Jesus still loves you. And he always will. But just like you want to have a happy Christmas, Jesus wants to have a happy Christmas too, if I can put it that way. And his Christmas becomes happy. Becomes complete as he unwraps those gifts that you give him of your heart, your hurt, your home, and your happiness. Look at Psalm 73 as I read verses 23 and 28 this morning. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Get the picture? Of Jesus, get the picture of God with us. Get the picture of what the psalmist is saying here this morning. Nevertheless, I'm continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. Look at verse 25. Whom do I have in heaven but thee? Whom do I desire upon earth besides thee? There's none. And then verse 28. It is good for me to draw near to God. Jesus wants your happiness. Jesus just wants to be with you 24/7. Holding your right hand, counseling you, guiding you, encouraging you. And one day, take me out of the glory.
Amen.
Would you bow your head and close your eyes this morning?